This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Let's get the latest on the Giants. Diamondbacks won, Giants nothing. I'm just kidding. The latest on the Giants and Jets from a guy who covers both, does brilliantly for SNY, was over at Giant practice today. And that, of course, is Connor Hughes. Connor, Evan, and Tiki. What's going on, my man?
Nothing much, guys. How are you?
Excellent.
We're doing fantastic. So much is being made about the Jackson Dart package from last weekend. Have we got clarity? I think it's just if Russell was hurt, then Jackson Dart had things he was comfortable with. That's the package. And it was an intentional, I don't know, obscuring of preparation for the Commanders. What's your take on it?
No, I think there was I think there was a legitimate situation where the Giants would have mixed him in there. I mean, they love his athleticism, love his running ability, love his arm. I mean, we saw it in the preseason when they brought him in for the screen pass to Theo Johnson just to kind of throw people off. And Brian Daboll told us today that they've been doing that in practice, where with the first team they'll take Russell Wilson out and they'll throw Jackson Dart in and give him a handful of reps there with the ones. So. I think we would have seen it if Russell Wilson wasn't playing as poorly as he was. You know what I mean? I think there was some understand. I mean, look, say what you will, and you can criticize Brian Daboll in a number of ways. He's a very smart guy when it comes to football sense, and I think he saw Russell Wilson being, 17 of 40, 17 of 37, them throwing Jackson Dart in for three plays and completing three passes, going back to Russell Wilson, and now suddenly you have a real you-know-what storm on your hands.
Right.
So, I think if Russell was playing better, you would have seen Dart, but because Russell was struggling so much, they were just trying to find some kind of rhythm, and you're not going to find that taking your starting quarterback out.
So regardless of the intent, how is Russell Wilson taking this, you think? And obviously, I'm after the game, I mean, I was doing pre and post, and I heard his post-game comments. He basically said that wasn't the plan. So what is the plan?
Well, Russell Wilson right now is the starting quarterback, and I think that everything that how do I word this? Russell Wilson says all the right things as it pertains to his confidence. And when if you read what Russell Wilson says, you would think he's the most confident person to ever walk the face of the earth. Usually when people go out of their way that much to stress like how confident they are, there's probably some lack of confidence internally that you're trying to battle, and you're just saying it out loud over and over and over again so you can be like, manifest it, baby, let's go.
Right.
That's kind of how I take it sometimes when Russell Wilson speaks. I don't know how authentic or genuine all of his comments are all the time, to be completely honest with you guys. And that comes off quite a bit here when, you know, they just get their teeth kicked in offensively. And I know they can rally around, oh, it was 14-6, 14-6. Tiki, you watched the game.
Yep.
I watched the game back. Evan, you watched the game. That was not a close football game.
No.
That offense could not do anything. Like, they couldn't. They couldn't do anything. So when you do that, and then your tweet after the game is mentally tough, period. Like, it's an act. To me, it's just an act.
What I'm still confused by, and it leads me to believe Brian Daboll is going to pull the plug soon, was that after the game, instead of saying, Russ is my quarterback, he opened the door slightly, or as Tiki said it, he didn't slam the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next day, he said, Russ is my guy, but Dable's been around here for a while now. He knows what happens when you answer questions a certain way. Why do you think he didn't slam the door right after the game on a quick quarterback change?
Because I don't think that he was completely certain that he was going to start Russell Wilson week two. I mean, you said it, Evan. This isn't Dable's first year. You know, he's not coming from Jacksonville or like compared to Robert Saleh. You know, Robert Saleh's first couple years with the Jets, first time in a major media market, there were some slips of the tongue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And I think it was he had to learn that if you don't say the right thing, there's 20 media members standing in front of you that are going to catch. You can't just let something fly by like you could in San Fran or Jacksonville. Dable's been around enough. He understands how this game works. So when he's pressed, and I wasn't there, I covered the Jets game, but when Jordan Ronan is pressing him and saying, is Rush your starting quarterback? And he's saying, I have confidence in Russell Wilson. He knows exactly what he's doing. He 100% knows exactly what he's doing. Now, to spend all offseason, guys, saying, Russ is our guy, Russ is our guy, Russ is our guy, Russ is our guy, Russ is our starting quarterback, all that stuff, and then bench him after 1 week, I mean, what that would say about the message and your plan, I mean, it would be just such egg on the face of everybody over at the Giants. It always made sense to start Russell Wilson in week two. But, guys, if they're down two or three scores going in at half, you really think that Brian Dable, who is shown to make impulsive decisions on the field in game day, you really don't think Jackson Dart's running out for the third quarter? You think they're going to keep running this one into the ground? I would be stunned. I would be stunned if that was the case.
Yeah, I would be as well. Any update on Andrew Thomas? I know he's not playing or practicing, I should say, today. That's part of the plan, as Dave said, and he should practice tomorrow and Friday. But what about his availability? And if he's not available this week and then it leads into next week, shouldn't they have just put him on the short-term IR?
Right, yeah, you can make that argument, absolutely. I mean, it's like they have the concepts of a plan with this guy where it's like they had the surgery, and then all of a sudden there's like the screw that needs to come out, as Dan Duggan reported. I mean, there's such questions with this guy. And Tiki, you know, like it's hard to just miss all of camp, not get a full week of practice in team drills, and then be in football shape to go
right
perform like the Giants need him to perform at left tackle. So I don't know if this is the week we're going to see Andrew Thomas. I kind of feel like week three is more likely where it's going to happen. The whole handling of this injury situation, you just get the sense that it feels like it was botched a little bit.
Yeah, like, did they kind of know going into camp or even before that, hey, this may take some time, or was this something that maybe they figured out over the last few weeks that, hey, he may not be ready for the first 2 weeks of the season?
No, I think once he had that second procedure to remove the screw, that's when they knew.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then once that happened, that's when they were aware. They understood what they were looking at.
Yeah, another injury on the defensive side. Micah McFadden looks like he's going to be out for a significant amount of time. We don't really know because we haven't got much details. Maybe you can provide some there. But Darius Mouassau has to now step in. Any indication? I mean, it's a step down, but is he ready for that role? Because Micah McFadden was turned into a really good read and react type linebacker, and I think it was important for them. What's the prognosis now with that second level?
Yeah, well, Mike is going to need surgery, so I would be surprised if he plays again this year.
Wow,
and it is a bummer. I mean, because I don't think he's one of the 10 best linebackers in the NFL, one of the 5 best linebackers in the NFL, but he's a starting NFL player, and he's a good player. And you need those guys. You can't have a team of all pros. Like, you need just good football players, and that's what Micah is. We're going to see real quick here with Darius. Now, Joe Shane is somebody who loves his draft picks. This is the guy that he drafted. He played some as a rookie. Was up there in snaps. You know, now he's got a chance to play, though. Now he's got a chance to show it. And I think they're probably going to have to shade some stuff his way when it comes to coverage. I'm a little concerned about that. But it's baptism by fire, Tiki, because I don't think they have much behind him if not him.
We're talking to Connor Hughes, who's at Giant Camp today. We'll get to the Jets in a few minutes. So most of training camp, we heard about the vibes. The vibes are great. Everything has changed at Giant Camp. Last week at this time, the vibes were coming through the radio. Giant fans were believing.
Yeah.
Have the vibes gone backwards to pre-vibe greatness this week over at a Giant practice?
That is what surprised me more than anything else with the Giants this offseason. I mean, this is a team that defensively, the additions they made on defense I thought were great. Like, I like Paulson to Debo. I like the fact, honestly, they're starting Cordell Flott, not just handing everything to Banks, Abdul Carter. Like, the defense, I think, has a legitimate possibility to be a top 10, top 12 unit if they got anything from offense. But this was, I mean, we all have eyes. We watched the Giants last year. This was one of the worst offenses, if not the worst offense, in the NFL a season ago. They brought back 10 of their 11 starters on offense. with the only addition being Russell Wilson, who is no longer good. Like, Wilson hasn't been good for 4 years, guys. Like, the Steelers, who are one of the most stable organizations, gave up on him. The Broncos and Sean Payton gave up on him. He's not the Russell Wilson of old. So to know that and to see that and just be like, oh, Russell Wilson's going to fix everything, and then have this confidence, have this bravado, go into the season with borderline cockiness, it almost makes the loss to Washington feel like 10 losses, not one. And you can compare it to the other side with the Jets. They were like, look, we hope we've got a quarterback, Justin Fields, but we'll see. Aaron Glenn, Aaron Glenn's not talking about playoffs, making a run. Aaron Glenn's talking, we're going to be a tough team. We want to be a team you can be proud of. We're going to fight hard. Like, the Jets lost the game, a heartbreaker, but you kind of still feel a little confident about it. The Giants, it's like, oh, here we go again. And I think it's because of how they boasted themselves up. I think it's how they stuck out their chest when I don't necessarily know if there was justification to stick out your chest based off what we saw a year ago. Again, this team won 3 games.
Yeah.
Like, they won 3 games a year ago. This wasn't a 7-win team, 6-win team. That's some bad injury luck. They won 3 games.
No.
So that surprised me. But vibe-wise, being in the locker room today, no guys are hanging their heads. But I think you're running the risk of some really, really bad stuff if you lose to the Cowboys, or this isn't at least close against the Cowboys, because it has a chance to really, really snowball.
You know,
really
an interesting way to look at this, Connor, was the vibes were positive because either Russell Wilson was going to have something left in the tank and give it to you for 5, 6, 3, 2, whatever, many games, and he's going to win, which he was brought here to do. And if not, you would turn to the rookie in Jackson Dart, or maybe even Jameis Winston, but probably Jackson Dart, since he was named the second string quarterback. And as Dave said earlier last week, he earned being the second string quarterback. But I said this on Monday, and I think I'm right here. Dave's is in a fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, it's on me. He waited way too long to make a move with Daniel Jones, and we all know how that affected the perception of him. Not the reality, but the perception of him. I don't think he can wait 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Russell Wilson doesn't have it, as you just said.
If they lose 31-13 or 28-10, and the offense, again, is terrible and the only score comes in garbage time, and then they've got a primetime game coming up against the Chiefs, What like What do you think that – you already saw planes – I mean, weather was the only thing that kept planes away from MetLife Stadium a year ago. Like, there were ready to be planes every home game for the final month of the season. If Russell doesn't show it here against the Cowboy defense that looked very, very susceptible a week ago against the Philadelphia Eagles in prime time, and they just get – they can't get out of their own way, and they can't run block, and they can't pass block, and guys are getting blown up, I don't know how you stick with Russell again. I don't know. Because, again, this isn't – we're not looking at this as, oh, it's just two bad games for Russell Wilson. He was bad for 2 years with the Broncos, and he had a little bit of a renaissance a bit with the Steelers, but ultimately, like, things crashed and burned with Pittsburgh towards the end of the year. So I think you know what he is at this point. And he's another year older. The athleticism is clearly waned, even from where it was a season ago, where it just makes so much more sense to be like, we got to go to the rookie. We need a jolt. This isn't working. Let's go to Jackson and let's ride this one through.
On the other side, I thought it was really important, very important. No offense to Xavier and his family. It was important to cut him. Like, I thought Aaron Glenn needed to back up his strong words of, if you're not helping the team win, if you're hurting us, you're not going to be on the field. This guy probably shouldn't have made the team to begin with. But I think, and tell me if you agree, I think symbolically, to back up his strong words, he needed to cut Xavier Gibson. And I thought it was important that he get it done, and he did.
I was kind of on the fence with this, to be honest with you. I thought he could have just benched him. I didn't know if he needed to be cut, per se. But it sends a message. I mean, it puts everybody on notice. It says that, hey, look, this is a new day and age. I'm very curious what's going to happen. He's not getting cut. I don't want to put any of this out there. But I'm curious if Quincy Williams doesn't play the first series on Sunday against the Bills because of the penalty, or if John Simpson – I don't know what they're going to do there, because, you know, the fumble was bad. Those two penalties were just as bad. Quincy Williams extended a drive, which led to a touchdown. John Simpson eliminated any chance for the Jets to get points before the half. I'm kind of fascinated to see what happens there, but it's clear there's a new sheriff in town, and Aaron Glenn isn't going to take any BS from anybody, and this was a very, very, very clear message and sign that's how it's going to be.
Maybe I'm nuts, because I love football. It's the one sport I never even tried to play, because I am very weak, and I would have been physically destroyed if I tried. But as just a simpleton, I didn't mind the John Simpson penalty because he was standing up for his quarterback. So while, yes, it was damaging in terms of trying to drive for a field goal at the end of the first half, I actually disagreed with the coach. I was like, you know what? I don't mind that penalty.
Right.
I agree. So I'm in the boat with you. I was basically just saying what Glenn had said, because it clearly ticked him off. I mean, Brian, I didn't see this. Brian Costello pointed this out to me. Right after that penalty, Aaron Glenn was like, making a motion, almost saying, like, take John Simpson off the field right now. Take John Simpson off the field right now. And it was like, well, you realize if he comes off, Xavier Newman's coming on, right? Yeah, like, that's the other option here. Like, why don't we cool it down? And ultimately, Simpson never came off the field until he got hurt for, what, three plays or something like that.
So,
I don't get the sense that this is just, like, all talk. Glenn's not messing around when he says, like, he's getting sick and tired of this stuff. But I think this is what's really going to test it, is the two players that committed penalties. It's not like it's Michael Clemens and Tony Adams. It's two pretty notable guys. So I'm curious if what will happen, if anything will happen. Again, I don't think they're getting benched, but if they have to sit a series or something like that.
Right. Connor, we did not get over to Jet Camp this year, even though I live in Florham Park. I didn't see them at all. And it was interesting leading into the season. I didn't have a sense of what particularly the offense would look like and what Justin Fields would be about. There was kind of nothing in the preseason, as we all saw. But you were there pretty frequently, and I was pleasantly surprised at not only his playmaking ability, but his, like, QB IQ. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the touchdown where he brought in the two tight ends, put in max protection. He knew he had man coverage behind him. He called for the crossers and got the big throw to Garrett Wilson. I haven't seen Justin Fields do much of that in his entire career. Maybe a couple of those games in Chicago. But, I mean, you have to be impressed with Justin Fields in week one.
You were pleasantly surprised. I was stunned. I'm stunned. I was split time between Jets and Giants, but I'd say I probably spent 60% of the practices at the Jets. And when I wasn't there, I talked to everybody that was and read the reports on what happened. Fields wasn't
good.
Yeah. There were good throws. There were good moments, but he was not good. I mean, accuracy problems, rushing, like in terms of rushing through things, bad reads, turnovers. Like I said this going into the season, I had no greater concern for the Jets than Justin Fields. And I thought he was going to be able to run around and be an athlete, and he'd really find some success if the Jets could run the ball. And we're looking at a lot of second and twos or third and ones, and you could just let him be an athlete. But if he had to play quarterback, I really thought the Jets were screwed. Like, I did. Like, that's right. Based off of what my eyes showed. Like, that's how bad it was, guys. And then he gets to the game, and he was remarkable. Like, he was stellar. And it's like you said, Tiki, like, he was moving around within the pocket, not being an athlete going one read and run. He's moving around within the pocket, buying time, keeping his eyes down the field so his receivers can get open and then making throws. Like, the pass over the middle is Tyler Johnson, the one to Jeremy Rucker, the one to Josh Reynolds. These are top-tier plays.
Right.
And I know it's just 1 week, and the Steelers didn't really play anybody in the preseason. You want to see it now against the Bills and things like that, but I don't know how you leave that opener not feeling wildly optimistic and very hopeful about what you might have with this guy, because look, maybe he's just a gamer and not a practice player. There are plenty of players like that. He was unbelievable. Yeah. Like, it blew me away how he played. I really was impressed.
You talking about practice?
I think
the other pleasant surprise was Armon Membu, who had a ridiculous PFF grade. Now, look, part of this is because they ran the ball so effectively. More than half of their offensive plays were in the run game, and in their zone scheme, it helps offensive linemen because you're automatically moving at the snap of the ball. But he played great, and the run game was fantastic. Breece Hall's day was as about perfect as you could have to open a season as well.
Yeah, I mean, that right side of the line was another concern because you had to have Joe Tippmann kick to the right, Josh Myers, who didn't have a very good camp or preseason, step in at center, and then Membu's a rookie. I think Membu could be a very good player. Just how good is he going to be as a rookie was a question mark because Will McDonald kind of beat him up a little bit throughout the summer, and maybe that's just because, look, Will McDonald had 2 sacks. Maybe he's just a guy who's going to beat up everybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that line, that right side of the line, allowed 0 sacks, 0 quarterback hits, and just 1 quarterback hurry, and it was Josh Myers. That's it. That right side of the line was tremendous. Now, they dealt with some issues. T.J. Watt, just being who T.J. Watt is, got past Membu for run stops. Not pass blocking, but for run stops, he was able to get in there and make some plays. But if this is the line the Jets have, I mean, they're going to push every bit to win 7, 8, 9 games this year. I mean, and if Fields plays the rest of the season like he did in the opener, there's no reason they can't get to 9 wins, if not more. I mean, that was – you saw – they got to fix up the defense. There's some problems there with the personnel. But offensively, you saw a grouping that can work and you can win with, not in spite of. And I don't know the last time I could say that about a Jets offense.
No, it was like watching a different sport. I mean, that's basically watching the Jet offense on Sunday. The thing that concerns me is, and this is where I was very mixed on Monday and Sunday night, I was pleased at the improvement, but they lost. And they lost the game they should have won. And now they're going to play the Buffalo Bills, who, yes, they play very tough at MetLife Stadium, but they're a touchdown underdog. And then they're going to go to Tampa, who's very well coached, and they're going to be a touchdown underdog. And I know things can change once the schedule softens, but I'm still looking at 0-3 right down the barrel. Like, so despite the improvements, it's only a 17-game season. I need some victories, Connor.
Yeah. That's right. I wish I could talk you off the ledge. I do, and I don't mean to like keep like dumping this on there, but I know Josh Allen historically has not played well against the Jets. Josh Allen hasn't historically played well against Robert Saleh. When you look at how Josh Allen did against the Detroit Lions and Aaron Glenn, I think it's something like 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. The last time he played, he threw for like 370 or 365 yards. Like, Josh Allen did Josh Allen things against Detroit. It was just Robert Saleh that he struggled a lot against. There's a chance they're sitting at 0-3. There's a chance they're in a hole, but the schedule does lighten up there, Evan. And I think that's what you look at big picture, and you do like their chances against some of these other teams they're going to face. I mean, Miami, you love them against them. The Patriot game, New England didn't look like this juggernaut. I didn't think they were ever going to be a juggernaut. I should say that.
Right.
They didn't look like this team that was so unbelievably improved that they're going to go win double-digit games this year. Those two games are absolutely winnable. So it's one of those things where, yeah, they might lose to Buffalo. Yeah, they might lose to Tampa. When you look back on it, I mean, if those losses came in week 12, week 7, and week 4, you'd be like, okay, yeah, well, we thought we were going to lose those games anyway. You got to focus on the positives. And you guys, Evan, you know me. I've covered this team forever. I'm not an overly positive person when it comes to this team. I think there's a lot of things to be positive about with them right now. Again, defense, you got to fix up. There's personnel problems there. But offense, there's a lot going right for this team, especially the vibes are awful high for the right reasons. And I think you can survive a little bit of a slow start if it's 0-3 there. 0-4, no. 0-4, no.
No. Oh, dude, they cannot lose to the Dolphins. That would be that'd be a problem, to say the least. Connor, we appreciate it, man. Thank you for popping on.
Thank you, bro.
No problem, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Connor Hughes, SNY, covers the Giants, covers the Jets. A lot to digest. I still, everything you said makes sense about Jaxson Dart and Russell Wilson. I still can't imagine that in the second week of the NFL season, we're going to see Jaxson Dart jogging onto the field.
Yeah, because I doubt it as well. We had this conversation before the season started. I do believe Jaxson Dart sits most of this season, but so much of it is going to depend on what Russell Wilson does and what he looks like. He probably has the most pressure of anybody in New York sports in week two, Russell Wilson.
In terms of keeping his job,
if he plays terrible again, he will not be the starting quarterback for long.
Yeah, I kind of agree, and you're going to call me a hater again. I'm just calling it like it is, okay? I was kind of right about the Giant game, so whatever. I kind of think they're going to get killed in the first half. I think you're walking into a buzzsaw in Dallas. I do. I mean, this is their home opener after a very difficult loss.
Mm-hmm.
They own the Giants. Like, I'm sorry. I think it's going to be ugly. So I think that part's going to happen. Is Dable going to pull the plug?
I mean, I don't know. But what I do know is that the Giants have to have the intensity to match exactly what you're talking about. Dallas home opener, pissed off because of how they lost that game. They could have, and maybe some people would say even should have won if CeeDee Lamb plays to the level that CeeDee Lamb should be at. Three or four.
Yeah, the two ones late.
Right, but it was really the two late that mattered.
They could have won that game, you're
they
right.
They could have absolutely won that game against the defending Super Bowl champions who were as good or better than they were a year ago.
No Jalen Carter, though, in that game. Let's remember that. That helped that Dallas.
Do you know why Jalen Carter didn't play that game?
Because he was a moron.
Because the Dallas Cowboys goaded him.
No, they did not.
Dak Prescott goaded Jalen Carter and spitting on him. And you better watch out. He may try the same stuff with you guys. Who would he target? Who is the guy that could be goaded on the New York Giant defense? Kayvon?
No.
Nah. Who is it then?
No.
Bryce, no one's worth it?
Dex is cerebral.
Abdul Carter is a rookie.
Yeah, Abdul Carter.
That's the guy?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just telling you what I would do if I'm the Giants. Sean, you're very close with people there. Obviously, Tiki.
Yeah.
Tiki.
You know what you do then if he does spit on you?
Yeah.
You sack him. And then you start to drag him and you just drool on his
face. Fuck! Do it! Oh my God!
I actually think the Giants could pull the Cowboys on the Cowboys this week.
What's that?
I think early in the game you goat George Pickens into getting ejected. He's completely nuts too.
That's a good point.
I'm not against that. I think Dak Prescott taught us a lesson, which is just goat someone who's a hothead into getting ejected. Right. That's all you got to do. We'll get back to your calls next. 888-808-1019, the toll free number. Plus, we have a long-term bet that we need to put out there, and I can't wait to play the game. The long-term bet of when will Andrew Thomas play football again? The Giants are one of the teams trying to chase him, and they're losing right now.
As are the Diamondbacks, but the Diamondbacks have a hefty hill to climb because they're two games under 500.
Yeah, they're five behind.
Right. They would need to win 12 of 15, 17.
Yeah, they basically...
They're not going 12 and 5.
I think the biggest worry right now is San Francisco and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati plays later tonight. The Giants are playing right now, and they are losing. Now, before we get to your phone calls, let's have a little long-term/short-term bet, because this could be determined in the next couple of days. And that's Andrew Thomas. And I want to first apologize to the audience. We should have done this in July. or June or August.
You're sleeping on the Giants.
I slept on the Giants in that I trusted that Andrew Thomas would be ready for week one.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure he was going to stay healthy.
We should have known, though, that he wasn't as soon as training camp started.
You're right. No, you're 1,000% right. And so I took the assumption, as we all did incorrectly, that, well, he's coming off an injury. He'll be ready to go. My argument with Sean and you, but more so Sean, was I don't trust him to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. I remember having that debate with Sean during the summer, but not he isn't going to be ready.
Right.
But obviously he did not play week one. Brian Daboll is not confirming he is or isn't going to play on Sunday. So let's play a game. When does Andrew Thomas play for the first time this season? Tiki Barber, as the incredible host of the Giants pre and post, which you will hear on Sunday morning with the pregame show beginning at 11:15.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Close.
Nice. In that hour.
Yeah. It's 11.
When will... I don't know why I said 15.
I know. I was like, what are you doing?
When will Andrew Thomas play for the New York Football Giants?
Primetime Sunday Night Football.
So not this week, but next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Yes. Okay. Tommy Lugauer, when will Andrew Thomas play football for the New York Giants?
2026.
Oh, come on, dude. Seriously?
Are you wasting all your positivity on the Mets?
It's not that I'm wasting the positivity. Something just seems off here. That's all I'll say.
He is practicing.
I understand.
He's just taking, prescribed rest days.
I'll believe it when I see it when he's back on the field and stays on the field. But for the purposes of this game, it's when we see him for the first time. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I have this bad feeling.
I'll never forget. So it was back in April. I remember weird things. Sean Manaea got hurt. And we said, hey, when do you think he'll come back? And we all give 3 months from now, 4 months from now. Yeah. And Tommy's 2 weeks from now. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm positive it'll be okay. Yeah, with Andrew Thomas, you think his legs are going to be amputated.
I know. By the way, who was right on the – did we ever reconfirm?
Yeah, you're going to have to talk to Sean about this. I was on vacation when he came back, so it was his decision not to replay the clips of his return. Remember, he came back on the Sunday before the All-Star break.
That's right.
And it's funny. I was sitting there. I forget what country I was in. I was in Spain. And I thought to myself, the Sean Manaea return game. Let's see if Sean texts me and asks me.
I forgot we did it. In fact, as you say that right now, I have no memory of doing it.
Do you remember his return? It was the Sunday All-Star game?
I do. I have no memory of doing the return date thing.
Oh, okay. Well, we did it in April. It was early in the season. Anyhow, Sean, when will Andrew Thomas play football this season?
I just went through everything in my head. Let me just say this. If Tiki's not right, we're going to have a problem on our hands because I don't think they're going to play in week four with a short turnaround to week five. Mm-hmm. I think if it's not week three, it's week five. I'm going to go to shocker. I think he plays Sunday.
You going this Sunday? Interesting.
This Sunday.
Okay. I'm agreeing with Sean.
Oh, wow.
I think it's going to be this Sunday. I think that right now they have been cautious, and week one was certainly a reason to be cautious. Mm-hmm. I think that week one was such an unmitigated disaster that while you still want to be cautious, you're also like, hell,
right.
This season could go to hell in a handbasket.
They showed him on the sidelines so many times, and he's just hulking.
He's hulking?
He's a hulking figure.
Oh, yeah, he's big and strong.
He's just massive.
Now, here's the follow-up. So I say Sunday. Sean says Sunday. Tommy says he misses the season. Tiki says week three. You'll understand in a minute, Tommy, why you're not a part of this next game. How many games does he play in 2025? Mm. Obviously, you're at zero, so that's why you're not playing. How many games does Andrew Thomas play?
15. No. That's a lie. 16.
But he can't play 16 unless he comes back on Sunday, and you said he's coming back week three.
Giants are making the playoffs.
Oh, my God. All right, you really want me to write down 16?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sean Morash, how many games does Andrew Thomas play this season?
I'm done being positive with this team. Nine.
Nine?
Mm.
Yeah, we're on the same page. I'm going with eight. He'll come back. He'll miss a week. He'll come back. He'll miss a few more weeks. Then he'll be out for the season. And I hate doing that because I don't want to predict injury, but he's unreliable. If you asked me this question about AVT 3 weeks ago before he got hurt, I wouldn't have said zero, but I would have said like seven.
My real instinct is, no, he's going to come back and finish the season, but I'm tired of being wrong about this. Yeah. So it tells me whatever I think is definitely going to be wrong.
Yeah, but AVT kind of came out of nowhere.
But injury
came out of nowhere. Like if we had said AVT is always hurt, how many games is he going to play this season? You'd have said 17.
No, I wouldn't have.
Really?
Just because he was healthy last year. No, and I stand by this because I remember when I was arguing with Sean about this with Andrew Thomas. I said, look, when guys have an injury history, it's very tough to just trust that they're going to play. Like, AVT was healthy last year, and I appreciate it and I respect it. But honestly, if you had asked me that question, I wouldn't have said zero by any stretch. I would have said like eight or nine. Mm. Like, he's going to miss games. I think guys who miss games tend to miss games. And unfortunately, that's the resume of Elijah Vera Tucker, and it's the resume of Andrew Thomas.
And yet, here's Sterling Shepard not missing games for the Bucs. I mean, you can't make it up. All he did was miss games for the
it's
Giants.
It's incredible how it works.
Yeah. Oh, wait, before you go to that, do you want Aaron Boone on not playing Anthony Volpe? We have audio.
It of course. Better not be the same answer.
Well, he's not playing.
I know, but we're just going to give him a day, and then he'll be fine. We saw some good stuff a week ago. I think he's right there. He's almost ready to turn the corner and get hot. He's great in the postseason a year ago. We expect him to be that.
You think that's what he's going to say?
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Boone, of course, has put his lineup together. Anthony Volpe is not in the starting lineup. So we may as well ask Aaron Boone the question. This is from Aaron Boone. Why is Anthony Volpe not playing?
He cannot hit. He cannot field. He cannot get a bunt down.
All right, jokes aside, that was Big Mac. Here's the real Aaron Boone explaining the absence from the starting lineup for Anthony Volpe.
Aaron, what went into the decision to start Caballero tonight at short?
I just feel like, you know, he deserves to play some. Obviously, it's been a tough stretch for Volpe offensively here. And, you know, it's just that time of year, all hands on deck. And, just felt like that was the best move for us today.
With 18 games remaining, how frequently do you envision Caballero starting at that position?
Oh, I don't know.
Great follow.
Day to day. So he's in there today and reassess tonight and heading into tomorrow.
Oh, I like that answer. I like that answer, T.
I love that. I love the question and the follow-up question, and I like the answer.
Day to day.
Day to day.
That's the way it should be.
Earn it.
I've been saying that for a month now with this shortstop spot, that it needed to be day to day. Like, you had Ahmad Rosario, then you got Jose Caballero. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have Caballero, better option. You have another option. It needs to be day-to-day. You need to play your best options.
Right. You need to put Anthony Volpe, and I know it's uncomfortable because he's your golden child, but you need to put him in a position where he has to earn playing time. You can't just hand it to him. He hasn't earned the right to be handed the starting shortstop position for the New York freaking Yankees, who constantly are in the postseason. I know he was fantastic a year ago, but right now, this season, in real time, he's not, and he's hurting the team. So you have to make him earn it.
Well,
absolutely.
Said. Well said. And Anthony will be okay.
Of course.
He has a beautiful girlfriend.
Oh, forget the girlfriend. He's got the right mindset.
At he's on if, billboards. Like,
if,
he's good.
If we're to believe everything that Aaron Boone has told us, he'll respond positively to not playing every day. Because that's if he doesn't, then we were all wrong about him.
Well, if he doesn't, then he's just not the shortstop anymore. Right. He's a backup player. Now, let's get to some of your phone calls. Let's go to Zach in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey. What's up, Zach?
Hey, Vintiki. What's up, guys?
All's good.
Yo.
Hey, yesterday, Loogie tweeted out, and I love Loogie, but Loogie tweeted out that back in 2023, the Rangers had a bad stretch in August, but came out to end up winning the World Series.
Correct.
And you mentioned that on the Rico yesterday. And
I
you
did.
Said how basically took it out of your book, something you would say. But I just want to remind you that, and I'm a huge Mets fan, but let's just remember that the Rangers from June on were 41-37 and finished their last 22 at 14-8, whereas the Mets, after that Tampa Bay series where they swept Colorado and Washington, they've been 31-45. They're looking in the last 22-11-11, even though we know they're coming off four straight losses.
Right.
I just think there's something different about this team than that team, obviously. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to grab positivity from everything that's gone on this year. And I mean, I know you don't like to talk about
it. It's not, but Zach, and this is why rarely do I do this. Rarely, if ever, have I signed off on a positive Tommy tweet.
Positive Tommy.
But the reason I totally agreed with him, and I did say, full transparency on the Rico, that sounds like Loogie borrowed that thought from me, and that's totally fine, is because it's not about being positive.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, this is baseball. And sometimes we need to be reminded about how weird this sport is. And you could use the Rangers from 2023. You could use the Phillies from 2022 with the way they collapsed in September. You can use the Yankees. I don't like to use them because they were a dynasty, but in 2000, they lost like 15 out of their last 17. You could use the 06 Cardinals. They were just a mediocre team.
Right.
There are a lot of examples of where October comes around and everything changes. And obviously, I'll let you explain your thinking. That's where I agree with him. Not that they're the Texas Rangers. They don't have the exact same season. No one's suggesting that. I don't think you were either. It's more a reminder that this sport is weird, and it's just about getting in and getting hot at the right
time. That's exactly was my point. They were a wild card team. They had a stretch where they were 4-16 late in the year, too. It's not like this was in June. This was mid to late August into September. They just snuck in the playoffs, and they won the World Series. This was a couple years ago, and that furthers the point of baseball's different now. You don't want, you know, you can win 100 games. It's not 1998 where you want to win 100 games you'd like to, but the way it's set up right now is get into the tournament, and anything can happen.
There's another example I always love to use, Teague. Mm-hmm. The Tigers in 2006. We sort of forget about them because they didn't play the Mets. They played the Cardinals.
Yeah.
They blew the division. They actually choked away the American League Central, and they were under 500 for 2.5 months. From July 30th on, they were 24-33, something of that nature. Very similar to the Mets. And they blew the Central. It was a horrible choke job. Got in as a wild card team. I think we know what happened. I think Yankee fans know what happened. I think we remember that first round. Kenny Rogers was doing stuff.
Great.
A-Rod was dropped in the batting order. Then they annihilated the Oakland A's in the ALCS, and they lost the World Series. I'm not saying they won the World Series, so I just think there are a lot of examples of that. And it was one of the rare times where I thought Tommy took the right approach. Don't talk about the Mets. Talk about everybody else. And then you can be positive.
I will say this. The night before I said something and I got ratioed. It's rare that positive Tommy gets ratioed.
What does ratioed mean?
It means there's more comments than there are retweets and likes. Meaning more people are mad at what you said than agree with what you said. So I was like, all right, you know what? Let's try a new approach here. Let's use an example where people are going to go, oh, okay, he didn't say he loves the fight or blah, 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 blah. He brought up a real-life example from a couple years ago that could be parlayed into what the Mets are doing. I'm not saying it will, but you could parlay it.
You get ratioed this time?
No, it was great. The response was there were still people that say I ruined the station, but there were people that were agreeing with what I said, and it is true. And I think with the new format, Ev, it's even more prevalent because a team can get in as a last wild card spot, and they have just as good a chance as the Dodgers, as the Phillies, as the Yankees, as the Blue Jays. Everybody is 0-0 come October.
I'm going to tell you something weird and emotional, and Tiki will probably choke me for saying this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think late at night, what would it would be like to win a championship for any of the teams I root for?
Okay.
And I imagine the journey, because I've never won a championship. I'm 42 years old. I've seen nothing. And I hear about the ones that were won, the 86 Mets. I mean, they dominated, and then they had this incredible storybook in the NLCS and the World Series. I think of the 69 Mets. They were a miracle.
Right.
I think of the Jets, greatest upset in the history of sports, really made the AFL on an equal playing field as the NFL. Okay? Think about that. And I say to myself, what's my story? Like, when I see my team win, what's my story? And as I watch this Met team, and they've had a frustrating year, I do ask myself, could this be the story? This is a weird story.
Doesn't that story suck, though, right?
I can't say it sucks because they win the World Series.
No, I know, but don't you want... This is how I feel about this Yankee team, so I'm going to tie it back in. I'll obviously take the parade and take the World Series.
You can't compare yourself, bro. I love you, and I don't mean to cut you off because you have some.
But it's been a long time.
I get it. I'm talking about my first. Do you remember your first?
Yeah.
Okay.
The 94 Rangers.
94 Rangers, right?
We're talking sports here. Yeah.
It's up to you. Well, if it was 1994, Sean, that's weird. You remember your first. Mm-hmm. And so you saying, well, I had this. Like, it's not the same. And so 2015 was always the year. Like, when people ask me what year frustrates you the most, it's 2015. That was the storybook.
Right.
Wilmer Flores, the pitching, the homegrown nature. Like, are you kidding me? It was always 2015. And then last year I thought, oh, my God, this is the story. No one expected anything. Like, this is the story.
Yeah.
This year doesn't feel anywhere near a story. Now, I know, Teak, that doesn't make any sense because it's sports.
Right.
But what the hell with this story? You're 2,000 Giants. That's a story. I'm putting the chips in the middle of the table. The guy's about to... That's a story.
Right. Right. That's a... It's a narrative. And it's... You can point to a specific moment where everything flipped, so to speak. Now, we ended up with losing the championship, but it's still historic because the story is epic. And it was genius by Coach Fossil, because if we don't make the postseason, he's getting fired anyway.
Right.
So when we do, it's like he's a genius.
That's where I struggle with the whole Met thing. Yeah. Like, what's the... Can you imagine this being the story, guys? For everyone who doesn't remember 86, so I'd say 43 and under, 44 and under, big part of the audience. Imagine this being the story. Like, that's weird. Well, but I guess I'll take it. Where Sean's wrong is don't tell me it's not good enough. I'll take any freaking story.
That's not what I mean. It'll be good enough, but it just, when you look back on a season where you're so frustrated, it just, you'll take the championship, but the ride wasn't as fun as it should have been. That's all I'm saying.
But Evan talks about the DVD games or moments. They haven't had one this
year.
They've
had nothing, man.
You know what stat I love?
That they haven't won a game trailing after 8?
You got it. What is it, 0-60? There's your story.
They finally do it?
Bingo. And that's the DVD moment, and that's the story of the Mets winning the championship. I love that stat, by the way.
There is something about never winning or always winning, and I'll give you the other end of it. I'll never forget walking in. I apologize for the comparison I'm about to make. It's the Nets. I'm sorry. I walked in a Barclays Center before Game 7 Nets Bucks, and I looked at my wife. I mean, honestly, the most stressed I've ever been for a sporting event. I was getting drunk before the game. I was that nervous. I said, honey, there's something I feel sick about. She's like, what? I said, I've been to Barclays Center 12 times this season. The Nets are 12-0. I know the one loss is sending me home. And she's like, why would you think that? I said, I just know it. And that's exactly what happened. So this is the opposite. Right. They haven't won a game trailing after 8. The game they win trailing after 8 is the game that advances them to the, you know, World Series. Let's go to Mark in Fresh Meadows. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. A couple of things. When I watched the Jet game, the defense was awful. All those other things contributed, but the defense, he threw to everybody that was open. So the defense certainly has to pick it up.
I ask you, Tiki, are you confident? Because we talked about how good the offense was, and it's something to build on.
Yeah.
The safeties were bad. Brandon Stevens was bad. Can they flip this? Because they're about to face a better offense in Buffalo.
Yeah, they can. But you remember last year when Robert Saleh, maybe it was probably 2 years ago, kept getting asked about Sauce traveling?
Yes.
Well, the challenge with traveling your cornerback, your best corner, is that it makes it a little bit more difficult on everybody else. Because nobody is set in what they're doing. They're kind of, it's dependent upon where Sauce is going to be. And so there is some adjustment to get used to that. And most teams don't travel a corner. And so I think Brandon Stevens coming from Baltimore, it's probably new to him, some of the things. Now, the big play he got beat on, the one, the corner route, I mean, it was just a great play design. You know what I mean? You're not used to seeing a wide receiver release through basically the tackle gap. And so... Tony Adams was the same way. I think it's just going to take some time for them to learn how to play cohesively together. And by the way, I don't think Saul's going to travel every week.
I don't think he's going to travel this week, because who on Buffalo? Khalil Shakir? Keon Coleman? Who's he traveling?
I would say Keon Coleman.
He had a great game, but
I don't think he's. I don't want to say he's not worthy of it, but I don't think you need to.
Well, I mean, worthy seems harsh, but yeah, I don't think he's worthy of it. Like the following weeks. There are other candidates that you would circle and say, oh, yeah, travel against him. You know, they face CeeDee Lamb, travel against him. Tyreek Hill, to a degree, travel against him. I don't think, and it's a credit to Josh Allen, I don't think they have a number one wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They've got good players. I mean, Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir are good players.
Right.
Dalton Kincaid's a nice tight end, but I don't see it. Cinco de 5-0 with Sean coming up. We'll get back to your phone calls. Get you set for the Met game tonight, the Yankee game tonight. A lot of Jets and Giants thoughts at 888-808-1019 and more from Aaron Boone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.